podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. And Ned, he laughed so hard that made me cry.
Oh my gosh, I won! I can't believe I won a pair of Vibram Sole Patagonia Release trail shoes. First of all, I'd like to thank the Academy for believing in my true story about why I need trail running shoes. A tick bite on my first trail race scared me from the woods, but I'm sure this award will lure me back to the trails. Thank you, thank you, thank you to Chris, Buddy the Wonder Dog, Vibram, everyone else on the selection committee, and most importantly to my daughter, who wrote that she's proud of me for working hard at running. Although I think she's just being supportive because if I run, she gets to go on a vacation to Chicago with friends for the marathon in October. Now that that's been said, welcome to the Run, Run, Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers, that's me, of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. In case you haven't figured it out by now, this is not Chris, your host. This is Samantha. I'm the guest announcer this week. When you're done listening to the Run, Run, Live podcast, come visit me at runforfun2.blogspot.com. That is R-U-N, the number 4, F-U-N, the number 2, .blogspot.com, where I chronicle my running adventures. I can also be found on Twitter at SamanthaUF. So, whenever and wherever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in. Are you ready to have some fun? Come on then, let's go for a run.
Sunshine, my only sunshine.
Why, you old fool.
What?
I'm not your son and my name's not Shine.
He calls me an old fool.
What's wrong with you?
It's either this show or indigestion. I hope it's indigestion.
Why?
It'll get better in a little while.
Did you see that?
Yes, the frog is certainly taking a beating on this show.
Yeah, it's hard to feel sorry for him. We take a beating every show.
Hey, folks, this is Chris, and welcome to another episode of the Run, Run, Live podcast. This is episode 77, so it makes me think of Ray Bourque, Phil Esposito. Yeah, I love those Boston Bruins, Colorado Avalanche. Love to see Ray Bourque hoisting the cup. What can I say? I grew up in New England, right? So today we got an awesome show for you. I got some interesting bits. I got the Disney Runner Old Age Throwdown, which is just hilarious, but it's a little long, but I didn't want to cut it because it was just so funny. It's about 8 minutes long. And then I have for my featured interview, I have Josh and Justin, better known as Speedy Sasquatch and Mango Runner. And they are not only two of the members of our all-Twitter Ragnar Relay team, but they're also personal coaches. So I thought the timing was right, since a lot of you have just thrown yourselves into training plans for races in the fall. I thought the timing was right to tap a couple of coaches and ask them, you know, hey, what should people be doing for their training in the fall? So hopefully that's very informative for you. We have a chat with them. And thank you, Sarah, in the intro. Such a great intro. It came out really well. So she did that on her iPhone. Been an interesting week for me. I'm driving over to go run with my club. It's about 8:47, the clock says, in the old green truck. Clock still works, by the way. Radio works and the clock works, so that's all you need. And it's twilight. The sun is set, but it's still light out. We're going out at 9 because some of the people in my club have little kids, and they put them down, and then they come out and go run at night. We put headlamps on, and we go. So that's pretty interesting. And we might do a poetry throwdown. We'll see if I get that recorded. I also was out riding this weekend down the Cape with my buddy Dan, who's a big mountain biker, and he did this Wilderness 101 race last year, which is the mountain bike race, the mountain bike ultra race that I'm going to do. So I went down to see him, and he was He was not very encouraging. He looked at my bike and said, "Are you kidding me?" And told me all the things I was doing wrong and basically told me there was no way I should be riding a 100-mile race. So I got 3 weeks of this race now. And that and, you know, my legs are a little gnarly from crashing. So I'm feeling a little challenged, but I'll rise to the challenge, I'm sure, as I always do, because he doesn't understand the important part. It's not about the bike. It's about the heart, and I got plenty of that, so I'll be fine. But I did take my bike in, and I got new front forks put in because my forks were hosed. Must have been from crashing it. I don't know. Cost me a pretty penny. And I got new brakes put in, and I'm buying a new seat because one of the things I had is I had this gel seat cover that I was using to keep my bum from hurting on the hard seat. And he said, you know, bringing that thing out here is like me showing up wearing jean cutoffs to run the Boston Marathon. So he was literally offended that I would wear it. I would bring a gel seat cover on my mountain bike. So we'll see. We'll see. Dan and I go way back. He was in my wedding. But nice riding down there in the Cape. The sand's a little gnarly. So that's what I'm doing. I'm putting a ton of miles this week. I rode to work and back on my race road bike. Really hammered it. So my legs are just beat. I rode today, and I'm going to go and run tonight. So I'm in, and I haven't been getting any sleep at all. But it's nice to see the Tour de France. That gives you a little bit of inspiration, doesn't it? Anyhow, that's what I'm doing. And as we used to say in the old days, I'm balls to the wall with activities right now. Hope to get down the Cape again this weekend. Got to put one more long weekend in, do a couple of 5-plus-hour rides back-to-back on Saturday and Sunday, and I'll be a mess, but I'll tough through it, and we'll see where it goes. After that, I'm going to start tapering it down. So I'm as ready as I'm going to get. So, hey, we got a great show for you today. Hope you enjoy it, and on with the show.
And now for something completely different.
All right, so here we are, Gordon. You know, I think that we're confusing a lot of people on Twitter, you know, by us going back and forth at each other with all these old age jokes. But we should probably introduce, you know, I'm Chris Russell from the Run Run Live podcast, or the Run Run Live podcast if you're from the UK. You're Gordon, the Disney runner.
That's right.
At Disney Runner. Running to Disney podcast, right?
That's right.
Available
yep.
on iTunes and the blog. And
yep.
You know, I just wanted to clarify things that, you know, we're got this running old age joke thing going for one primary reason, and that's because you're so old.
Chris, can you hear me, or do you want me to speak louder?
No, it's good. I hear you.
Okay, I didn't want to overcharge your hearing aid or anything.
No.
I'm glad we could do it at this time of the afternoon because I know how keen you are on hitting the early bird special with the other folks at the home. So, but yeah, you know,
Gordon. You're so old that the candles on your birthday cake would raise the Earth's temperature by 3 degrees.
That is funny, and if it were true, I would probably agree with you. But let me be serious for a minute. My father wanted me to thank you for what you did for him in World War II, saved him from that beachhead. And I told him I don't think it was you because I was fairly sure you were in the Spanish-American War and you were retired by World War II.
You know. The other thing I want you to check on is that I think you're so old that you fart dust.
Chris, I know we got to keep this short because I don't think you wear your Depends to work, and you have a prostate the size of an earth ball. So please, if you need to put us on pause so you can run to the men's room, just let me know.
I think you need to check your birth certificate because I think it expired. First of all. And it's so old that it's written on parchment in Roman numerals.
Listen, let me ask you. You've been a runner for quite a long time. Did you make a quilt out of some of your first race togas?
You know, you're so old that you walked into an antique shop and they kept you.
Listen, let me ask you, what was it like to shake Pheidippides' hands right before you told him to run one more mile?
Well, let me put it this way. If you acted your age, you'd die.
Hey, listen, in those cold Massachusetts winters, do they let you wear your Snuggie to work or just at home?
No, those would be the support hose. Is it true that you're a historian, right? So is it true you co-wrote one of the Ten Commandments?
Hey, listen, I was listening to your podcast, and I understand that you have this this forest behind your home that you run, and I think it's good that you run close to home because old people like you get disoriented and lost a lot, and they can find you.
Well, I think all I can say is that you're so old, one of your pets came from Noah's Ark.
Now, one of your shows had a feature. You were on your front porch with all your bike gear. Is that where you put the knobby tires on your Rascal for mountain biking?
Yeah, well, okay. Let me say this, that you're so old that you have an autographed Bible and you owe Fred Flintstone money.
Listen, if you would, on your blog next to where I can download your excellent book, would you mind putting a sort of a scan of that Presidential Physical Fitness Award you got from Abe Lincoln?
You know, related to that, you're so old that you knew Mr. Clean when he had an afro. I know that cuts kind of close to the core for you, Gordon.
But remind me again, which of the Golden Girls did you date?
You're so old that in the backseat of your car, the kids don't say, "Are we there yet?" They scream, "Are you dead yet?" They're going to put you in an old folks home, in a museum instead of an old folks home.
I'm losing it, man.
You bite into a steak and your teeth stay there.
Now, listen, when you and Moses and Aaron were running around, did you do the first trail runs for the tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel?
No, we used the babysit for Cain and Abel. When God said, "Let there be light," you hit the switch.
There we go, there we go. This is devolving. Tell me again, what was it like to date Ma Bell before they broke her up?
Ma Bell. Hey, so you're so old that at the airport they ask you to check your bags, and you're not carrying any luggage.
when you go running, when you do your long runs, a lot of the runners like to use Body Glide. Do you try to get in between every one of your wrinkles, or do you just do the chafing parts?
Well, let's talk about wrinkles. You're so old it looks like the wrinkle fairy tap danced on your face. I've seen stale raisins with less wrinkles.
Now, I am told, Chris, and you may be able to confirm this for me, that Fuel Belt is actually putting out a special edition for senior runners that will hold your colostomy bag next to your Heed.
That's funny. That's a good product. I think what I can say to that is when you were a kid, there was no Old Spice. They just called it Spice.
Let me get serious for a minute.
Okay.
When you and we just celebrated July 4th, and I was curious, what was it like in Constitution Hall when everyone was signing the Declaration? Were you excited to see these guys that you grew up with and went to elementary school with?
Well, you know, you're the historian here. I heard that when the Big Bang happened, you said, "What the heck was that?"
Oh, goodness, Chris.
So look up. Are there vultures circling?
Now, is it true that the Boston Marathon will allow you to use your walker?
No, but I heard that you were the DJ at the Boston Tea Party.
Is it true that when you and Steve Runner are getting ready for Boston, he says, "Grandpa, what are you doing here?"
Is it true that when you're doing your speed work, you use the sundial?
No, that is true. Man, I'm losing it.
Well, let's wrap this up. I'll just say that you get to a point where you're so old that you know all the answers, but nobody asks any questions. I think that's where we are.
It was, let me just say, it was a pleasure talking to one of the founding fathers.
And I hope to see you soon.
You too, buddy. If you make it that far. I'll try. Try to hang in there. All right. We'll see you. See you, buddy. Bye.
And now for our featured interview.
Hey, Chris, hey. How's it going?
It's going, it's going.
Hello.
There
How's it going?
Is. All right, so Justin
Yo.
And Josh.
Yep.
Say hi, Josh. Hi, Josh.
Hello. So,
better known as Speedy Sasquatch and the Mango Runner. You two guys are coaches, and I wanted to get you on because I can always remember when I was training for marathons that 4th of July weekend was kind of my stake in the ground to start my training program. And I was either, you know, either a little bit early or a little bit late sometimes, but I always knew that somewhere on 4th of July weekend, I'd sneak away from my family on that Sunday morning and try to go run 12 to 13 miles as my first long run, right?
Yeah,
so this seems like a good time to talk a little bit about training plans and about what people can, you know, what people can look forward to and what they should look out for and that sort of thing. So why don't you guys introduce yourself? Justin, go ahead and start.
All right. Well, my name's Justin, also known as Mango. God, I've been known for Mango for years. I've been doing marathons for 4 or 5 years now and triathlons about the same. I actually ran with Josh in Boston. That was my most recent marathon. I just recently started coaching, picked up a couple athletes. I'm loving it. I also have a podcast, and that's about it.
And you, Josh?
Well, everyone knows me better as Speedy Sasquatch. Been doing marathons. It's got to be getting on 5 years now. Done New York a bunch, done Chicago, done Philly, you know, and most recently did Boston with Justin. We're not going to talk about who won, who lost. Rematch is way in hand, so we're not going to discuss that part. I coached the Race with Purpose team out of New York last summer into fall, basically getting everyone ready for either Chicago, New York, or Philly. And then I carried over a group that went and did Boston. So
one of the most common questions I get asked, guys, and I don't even claim to be a coach, and I don't really want to be one, but I get asked questions all the time. And the common question I always get asked is, what's the best training plan for me? And I find that sort of not a question I can answer, because there's a thousand different training plans out there, right? So how do you guys answer that question?
You want to tackle it, Justin? You want to go first?
Why don't you lead it off the gate, seeing you won Boston?
My answer to that is there is a million plans out there, and I read the books, and I read the journals and stuff. The truth of the matter is there is no perfect plan that's out there written for you. There just isn't. Everyone's bodies are different. Everyone reacts to the mileage different. If their form is different, there's none of the plans are specifically designed for you unless the book or whatever is written exactly for you. A lot of, at least the way I operate, is I work on a sort of a skeletal framework, you know, between speed and hills. And, you know, I run in, you know, if I'm doing a 16-week program, it's done in 4 sections. You do a base building for 4 weeks. You know, you'll do, you know, strength work for 4 weeks. You'll do speed, you know, then you'll do a speed segment, and, you know, in there you'll have a down week along the way so that it all breaks up even.
Yeah.
And I try and operate off of sort of a very skeletal framework and then cater the individual pieces as we go along. You know, the hills, the speed, the intervals, the tempo runs, that stuff, I will vary up consistently depending on who the person is, what they really need to, you know, whether they used to be sprinters or soccer players. I mean, they're distinctly different athletes when it comes to putting on the endurance and the mileage. The only other thing that really kind of stays static is the long runs, you know,
right.
And I kind of run through, I like to do 2 peaks of ladders. So, you know, you're going to go all the way up to probably 16 or so, then come back down, then go back up to it as much as 21 or 3, depending on, you know, what you're looking to do.
Okay.
What I would definitely say, I would jump on with Josh here, is that there's no best program out there. I mean, they're all different. What I have noticed, though, is that plans are starting to move away from running consistent 6-7 days a week. And actually, I'm running Chicago, and I'm actually helping a couple of my coworkers run Chicago. And I downloaded their program, and they have you running the beginners 4 days a week. And they factor in some cross training in there. So even me, I only run 5 at most, but hardly ever 6 days a week. And I always schedule a rest day. I think that's very important. And also within training plans, like Josh had said, hills and speed work are a definite definite. And I would also even take a look at what marathon you're doing. If you're doing Chicago, that's a flat course. You don't need to factor in too many hills. But if you're going to be doing a race like Boston, you're going to have to train on the downhill a lot. Chris and Josh, you both know that. They'll trash your legs. So training actually has to be specific to your race. So if you're going to be doing a hilly race, train on hills more. And also look at the plan and modify it to your life. Now, I'm a nurse. I work every third weekend, so my long runs can't be consistent Saturdays. So every third weekend, I have a long run on a Friday instead. And just tailor it to your life, because if you don't tailor it to your life, you're not going to do it. And if you don't do it, you're not going to run your goals.
Just to jump in for 2 seconds. I mean, I totally agree with adding cross training for beginners for the first month. You know, first 3 to 4 weeks, just intermittently along the way, so that then it's a lot to get used to the impact. Unless they're running trails all the time, which not everyone will do.
When you guys say cross training, though, you know, most of the time people are thinking bicycle, and I've found that they're not necessarily a complementary activity, biking hard and running hard.
No, I would say more stairs or elliptical, one or the other, depending on how their knees are, whatever.
I found swimming to be an excellent complementary activity.
That's good for the lungs. I try and get people to rattle their legs even when they're, I'm stuck in this triathlon mode at the moment where I don't kick at all, so... my legs don't do much. and the other thing that Justin said that I totally agree with is catering it to your life. The people that I coach solo, they get their plan only 1 week in advance, basically the Saturday or Sunday before their next week, depending on how they feel, if they've picked up any slight injuries, strains, that kind of a thing, or, the work schedule changes because lots of people travel. So I try and make sure that everyone has everything, within a framework that works for their life.
Yeah, I've found throughout the years that moving a workout by 1 or even 2 days doesn't make a bit of difference in the overall program. So, and missing a day or two doesn't make any difference either.
Yeah, if you miss one, just forget that it existed and just move on to whatever the next one was going to be and just focus on that.
Right, so there's a fine balance of, keeping your emotional intensity and not killing yourself or ruining your life over it. No, I'm saying you guys have looked at all the online and all the books and all the hundreds of plans that are out there. What do you think is the failing of those plans that are out there?
The big thing for me is I think the framework, and people get hung up on the framework. It just gets too strict.
Yeah.
Like you look at it and you're like, oh my God, I have to do this, this, and this. And then they start looking at a week ahead and they're like, oh my God, if I don't do this and this now, then next week I'm going to be in that much worse shape. But I'm really tired. And I think a lot of times you look at those plans and people get it locked in their head that they have to do it that day. They have to do it this way. And they don't take into account how their body reacts to everything. And that's
right.
That's sort of the biggest thing.
Right, it's too prescriptive and there's no feedback.
Yeah, there's little thing, asterisk next to every day saying, if your legs feel dead, maybe you should switch to this or, scale right. this back and maybe it's not as far or it's not as intense, you change your pace numbers, that kind of a thing. I mean, they really tend to, people look at it, it dictates a number, they say, that's my number, and they go with it. And a lot, it can burn you out.
Interesting.
Actually, that was one of my... That's one of the mistakes that I put, that people take the plans and say, this is how I'm going to achieve my goal, and not make it specific to them. And actually, that's one of the great things about a coach is that we all kind of use the same skeleton, but we can tweak it to your needs and how you react. So like Josh said, if your legs aren't feeling good that day, you really probably should take another rest day to recover. And then we can manipulate the week where you can get your miles in and your key workouts.
That's it. And also people have, we're talking about major tips, I think my biggest one is do not go out and blow the doors off every run. Some people have that mindset where they go out there, they're going to go, I'm going to go run 8 miles. And they don't pay attention to how fast they're going. They just go and do it. And every time it can be the same speed all the time.
Jeff, did you read my notes?
No.
Why are you hitting all...
how do you think
I made notes, and you're hitting every point.
That's how I ended up overtrained for Boston, is I got so excited at the training plan I had mapped out for myself that when I went out, I was like adrenaline rushed, and even my recovery runs, I'd go out and I'd come back and then look at my watch and I go, oh man, I was way faster than it needs to be. And after enough of those, it just was too much. You can't take it. The bodies can't just take it, you know? And
yeah,
it's hard to tell people to be like, go find somebody either that is slower than you, or just find someone that talk to constantly, run with them. That tends to be my favorite tool for curbing people, is that you go find the chattiest person, you know, that'll run with you, and have them go.
And what I do is, if I start feeling shitty, I think, I must be undertrained, and I start training harder.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the appropriate thing to do is probably to fall back and give my legs a rest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly, right. So hard on your hard days, easy on your easy days.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and it's like, and sometimes, you know, I mean, I've had runners come, they'd be like, they'll give me a call to be like, look, you know, I did what you said and I barely sweat. And I was like, good, that's fine.
Yeah.
Don't panic.
Yeah.
You know, the point is to, you know, you shake the acid out of your legs. You let all the muscle fibers stay loose. You don't put unnecessary strain. You're just lengthening things, you know.
So besides that, what are the other mistakes you see people making?
Justin, go before I take your notes.
Yeah. So a buddy of mine just started running last year, and he did too much too soon. He got way too excited. He got all into the logs, the blogs, the Twittering, and he just, I think I sat down with him, and we did his weekly mileage, and there was, between 1 week, he increased 100%. Sure as shit, he got injured. He had bilateral tibia fractures, which actually took him out of the game for a couple of months. To combat that mistake, I would definitely suggest a log, whether it be paper log, online log, just so you can keep track of your mileage. And I'm not like hard, fast 10%. Like, we've all known that number, right? Never increase more than 10%. But there's some play with that number. But it just keeps you in check, so you're not increasing your mileage by 100%.
I'd like to add something to that, because I've always thought that 10% number was kind of just a random thing that somebody made up. Just like you said, to give people something to hang their numbers on. I've actually had some success in overstressing and then backing off, you know, in taking a week and making it a monster week, but then making sure you back off the next two or three. You see what I'm saying? Shock and awe approach to get a program started.
Absolutely, Chris. I actually do that with my plan. So it's a build up for, it's a microcycle of 4 weeks. So build for the first three, and then that third week, you're really crunching out the numbers. And then that fourth week, you actually back down the mileage, and then it starts to cycle all up again.
Yeah. I actually give it a longer bit of length myself, but that's just, you know, I build a little bit longer, but I throw in different, you know, different workouts that are a little bit, that definitely make it seem like it's as difficult along
right.
the way.
But one of the big differences is we know how to listen to our bodies, where somebody newer wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So if a light starts flashing, you know when to stop.
Yeah. People who have Garmins, I mean, some of the people I have running now who have those, have them all read the manual, and, you know, I'll set a pace for them, and, you know, I want it to beep every time it hits this spot, and that means you're bad.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. I mean, sometimes you need to have that. I mean, I think one of the biggest things that, you know, that people need to take into all of this is patience. You have to be willing to just either, A, stick to the plan, or listen to your coach and what's going on, and have, I mean, it really is as much physical as it is mental. You have to mentally be like, okay, he said, don't run faster than 9 minute miles. I am not going to run faster than 9 minute miles, you know, and stay within whatever the parameters are. And that's really, really hard.
Well, I think sticking with the plan is very good, because it allows you to narrow down your focus to, okay, what do I have to do today? And not worry so much about the 16 weeks or the marathon. Because if you start looking at the whole thing, then you just get overwhelmed. And
yeah.
Having a good plan lets you take it one day at a time. And just
that's why I only give everybody, they only get a week. Because if I give them more, then they start to get all like, oh, well, let me plan out my course for then. And it becomes too much. It's overwhelming.
So
but yeah, definitely the mental part, I think, is huge. It's like, kind of like the first building block. Be willing to go slow, you know, and have the mental toughness to not be, you know, cheat yourself by going faster.
Yeah.
So just to piggyback onto Josh here, the mental thing. I read a study actually a couple of weeks ago. It was published in Great Britain, and it studied 20 athletes, and they had 10 with they constantly fed them bad like reviews of their training. Oh, you're really not pushing hard enough. You're not going up to par. Then 10 of them, they said, think good thoughts about yourself. And it's not this huge mind-blowing results, but the athletes who were fed the good attitude actually improved more than the ones that were fed the bad attitude. So just by having a positive attitude can actually help your training out.
And that's also where we come in. You know, that's where the coaches really can help out too. You know, they go out, they have a bad run. They're like, oh, you know, it really sucked. I felt like crap. I never got anywhere. And you go, okay, that's fine. You're allowed to have, you know, I don't even have days that are perfect all the time. You know, I have horrible workouts where I just dog it and I toss it and that's it. You know, this is not my day. And I hang them up for the day. But, you know, the point of it is that, look at, you know, you reassure them, make sure that they know this is not the end. This is just one training. This is one day.
Yeah, everything
going up to it.
Yeah, you guys, I think it's just the fear of the unknown. I mean, I get those people calling me, oh, my God, it looks like it's going to rain on race day. You know, okay, so it rains. No.
That's my favorite thing is the people who become meteorologists heading into it. Well, yeah. It's going to be 70, windy, and it's like you have been training, and if you've been training outside every day, you're ready for it.
Yeah.
Or you know, whatever your schedule is. I mean, and that's the other thing. That's the other thing is that just understanding that on race day, it could be totally crap out. And it could be totally crap out every day that you go and train. But, you know, you always have to have that in your mind. Well, it's raining out and it sucks, but it could be like this on race day. And, you know, that's one other big thing is, you know, before you're getting to your race, try everything. You know, really figure out what works and what doesn't well before you get there. If it's the shoes, try different shoes. If, you know, if you need braces or stuff like that, sunglasses, head visors, everything.
At the end of the day, if you've done your training, don't stress out about that stuff.
Yeah.
Because I'll give you an example. Sunday I went to run this race, and I haven't done a road race in months. I couldn't find my shoes. They're buried under a pile somewhere. So I just wore an old pair of shoes instead. You know, it didn't make any difference. Only a 5-mile race, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing to stress about.
No.
So,
but for people who get, like, really into it and stuff, I mean, it's just, you know, if you're going to do it, just always try everything as you're going along. For my runners, I want them to, like, work out their pre-race routine so that by the time they get to marathon morning, so every long run is going to have the same routine working into it. By the time they get to race day, they're relaxed. I just want people to be mellow. If it's the same routine and rhythm all the time, it's mellow.
Yeah, right. Take the stress out of the race day morning.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, guys, before we go any further, give us your official contact information for people who want to be coached.
Justin, go ahead.
Yeah, so my email is mangorunner@gmail.com. You can also find me at trythemango.com.
And for me, I mean, my Twitter name serves me well, BD Sasquatch. But if you want to email me, it's just my name. It's Josh, J-O-S-H, last name M-A-I-O, @gmail.com.
All right. And you guys got a stable of athletes that you're putting through a campaign this summer?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Have you had any great coaching moments over the spring?
Over this, I haven't had a good one yet. Tonight was kind of fun. I have a newbie. I mean, experienced runner. Done several marathons, but has never really hit their mark. So took them out tonight for just a 5-miler and to see where they're at. And, you know, well, after I ran Paris last year, I started smoking, but I stopped a month ago. And I was just like, oh, this is going to be so fun. And by the time we got to the top of the first hill, it was kind of like, okay, this really isn't fun anymore. And I said, you probably got about 3 weeks of this before it's going to end up feeling like you're all right. So I find it amusing with the people who really get into it and then want to hit a mark, and it's just sort of like, oh, it's just all the habits to break.
Yeah, they totally revert between marathons, right?
Yeah, and my crowning moment so far has been running with Long Island runner, or Joe. And, you know, I mean, we did the 10K, and she's done a couple of 10Ks where she's just kind of blown the doors off, and she just shocks herself every week. That it can be like this.
Yeah, she's so excited.
So,
it's fun to listen to her.
Oh yeah, she's everything. She's just sweet. Let's go do it.
So what did you add into her training? Because she was already a heavy mileage runner. What'd you add in?
She's never really done variable speed work. So I mean, she'd go for distance, or she'd do like a progression run and sort of pick up the pace in the last two. But she's never done like 3 and 2 intervals. You know, 3 hard minutes, 2 jogging minutes. She hasn't done, you know, 1 mile repeats. I have her doing, 90-second hill sprints and all kinds of little things here and there, you know, changing it up kind of every week so that she has something a little bit different that's going to really, really test her. And she's just kind of eating it up. And the core work has been the other thing, and cannot stress doing core work enough at the end. It just helps so much when you're burnt out.
Yep.
You know what I've found, Josh, and you just mentioned it, that most of these people that we coach is that they know how to run. I mean, everybody, like, I find that these people just, like, oh, it's like I have a base, you know, I can run 30 miles, no problem. But then you look at their plan, it's that one speed again. They don't do speed workout. They don't do core workout. So just integrating that can make a world of a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, even for a flat course like Chicago, I do recommend hill work along the way just because what it can do in terms of strength. And keeping people from getting injured. Hill work is great for that because it builds all the right muscles.
Yeah, and also it's not just strength, it's also heart great, because nothing will max your heart rate quicker than running up a hill. And also your aerobic, because you're way over, you're in the red line the whole time. Mm-hmm. So hill work just hurts, so it's got to be good for you.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
All right, guys.
That's my favorite.
We got to wrap it up. So we got a race coming up in September, and I guess I'm going to be the senior citizen on this crew.
I don't even know who that last person is.
Yeah. You guys will have to come up with a plan to convert me from a 100-mile mountain bike race to a 200-mile relay race in a month. Think you could figure one of those out?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No problem.
Yeah, no problem. We'll get a wheelchair. We'll just
throw it to our kid. All right, guys. Thanks for your words of wisdom. We'll edit this up and get it up this week, all right?
All right. Appreciate it, Chris.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
All right. Bye.
See you, Josh.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. Take it easy, guys.
Well, that was a brief episode of the Run, Run, Live podcast. And I'm sitting here watching the Tour de France. It's late Friday night, and I've been working way too hard, so I'm going to wrap it up and go to bed. I wish I had more important things to say. Got to get up to crack of dawn, drive down to Cape Cod. I'm going to go for a epic ride on Otis Air Force Base. Been neglecting my family and my honey-do list, so I got to get that done early and get on that other stuff. Everything's cool. I got some great stuff for next week. And I will see you out there. Okay, my friends, got a nice bluesy number for you tonight called Good Girls Gone Wild by Anushka on the PodSafe Music Network. We'll see you later.
I'm gonna sing while I'm living. I'll be a saint when I die. I'm so freaking tired trying to do everything so damn right. I'm too old for rules now. Yeah, I've done my schoolgirl time. Check me out, check me out, check me out now. I'm a good girl gone wild. A good girl gone wild.
She's a good girl.
Okay,
she's a good girl.
Now I'm the run.
A good girl gone wild.
Kind of girl that's dangerous. But damn, am I fun.
She's a good girl, a good girl.
Just
gone wild.
Learned how to drive. I'll drive my soul straight to hell. Drink whiskey with the devil's friend while heaven rings in my bed. I got a license to knock any man out of my way. Well, if you break my stride, I swear I'll make you pay. My mama will be crying to the angels saying, Lord, what's to be done? My good girl's gone crazy. She's gone wild. Is she in love? A good girl gone wild. Drive my soul straight to hell. Drink whiskey with the devil's friend while heaven rings.
can package me in silver, you can package me in lace, package me any way you want. I'm still a blue jeans kind of bae. Whoa! Yeah, I sold all my jewelry, but I kept all of my guitars. I'm a good girl gone wild with freedom, mission in my heart. A good girl gone wild.
She's a good girl.
Oh, okay,
she's
a good girl. No, I'm the
wrong. A good girl gone wild.
The kind of girl that's dangerous, but damn, am I.
Thanks for listening to the Run Run Live podcast. Comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line and I will see you out there.
Run, run, live. The podcast for all your running needs.